Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Welcome again to the Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me The Way, here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor, and we are here for another jam-packed, exciting week, talking all things New York football, as well as the rest of the NFL and the rest of the world of sports. This is an exciting time again. We are live on NFLAlumniMedia.com or NFLAmedia.com. Check us out every week, same time, all week, on Wednesdays at 10:30. Next week, we got a slight change. Next week, we will be coming live on Tuesday at 10:30. Next week, we will be on NFLA Media next week, Tuesday at 10:30. This has been an exciting week, Big T. The Jets and the Giants have cut down to their 53-man rosters. We just got finished seeing a great Jets-Giants week. Saw some things that I was impressed with. Obviously, BT, Giants didn't have their starting crew, or at least their full starting crew playing, but the Jets had their full starting crew. What are some of the things that you came out with that you're optimistic about the upcoming season from a Giants perspective? We'll get to the Jets perspective here in the second quarter, but what were you kind of excited about seeing in that game with some of the backups?
With this young center, John Smith, seemed like he solidified the center position as a rookie. And, you know, that's a rarity because the center is the quarterback for the offensive line. And he did a good job all the times he was in there. Evan Neal seemed like he got a little bit better. Darren Waller didn't play at all in the preseason, but when I went to watch him in practice, he looked outstanding. And then left guard Ben Bredson, along with Andrew Thomas at tackle, I think they have a chance to, if they work together, they could be like one of the giant lines of the past. They used to be called the Suburbanites or something like that. And I think that, you know, part of an offensive line, as you know, is working together. And I saw a little bit more, but I think that, you know, it's still got work to do because, you know, that first game of the season is going to be tough. So they got to have it done. And they give them a few days to a little bit off to rest. And I think, you know, by like Saquon Barkley, he should be chomping at the bits to go. So, you know, I saw some good things, but, you know, I'm still, preseason still confuses me, Charles. And, you know, because, you know, you really can't tell the truth.
Yeah, it's really hard because obviously, you know, it, you're not playing full tilt, even if you are a starter and you're getting ready. It's not like the same intensity as a regular season game. It is a preseason game. So you don't get a lot of insight into how well these players are going to perform. Obviously, backups and guys fighting for positions, you're going to see what they can bring to the table. I was impressed with Michael Gray. I did like what I saw from him. Like I said, he's showing his burst. He's showing his athleticism. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. So I'm very excited. I was very impressed with DeVito, even though they didn't keep him. I was very impressed. He showed a lot of poise, a lot of confidence back there. And I think what they may do is try to keep him on the practice squad, bring him back and put him on the practice squad, because you are able to do that. I don't think any team, unless they have a great third string quarterback, will keep three quarterbacks on the roster, given how valuable position players are. And a quarterback right now, especially beginning of the season, you're hoping that you're not going to go down to your third string quarterback in week one. So I think DeVito is definitely a guy to keep an eye on as far as practice squad coming back and being a practice squad player, because he deserved it, because he seems like he showed more poise in the pocket than Tyrod Taylor did in all the preseason games.
Well, I was impressed, you know, because he seemed comfortable. And I was kind of shocked, to be honest with you, that they released him. But then I do hope that you're correct about him coming back and being on the practice squad, because, you know, if he can improve in practice, it's going to help them in the game. I don't know about Tyrod Taylor anyway, because he hasn't shown me anything. I mean, for something, he's a veteran and he should be at least making some plays, but maybe the pressure on the Jets was too much. But what I really like is the group of wide receivers they put together, because Paris Campbell is in his first year with the Giants. I think John Hyatt from the University of Tennessee is going to really help the Giants in the long run. And then they brought back Wandale Robinson. Mm-hmm. And I think he could be helpful for them also. And then Darius Slayton. I think there might be the difference in the Giants team. Because, you know, if they do something offensively to keep the ball, you know, keep the chains moving, everybody's got to play their part along with Darren Waller. So I'm really anxious to see, because I think Daniel Jones has already gotten better from last year, because when I watch quarterbacks play, I look how quickly they get rid of the ball, because during the season, you got these defensive ends that are coming at you. So I think you can't hold the ball too long. Otherwise, you're going to take a beating. And he did get rid of the ball a couple of times in that one drive that they did a lot quicker than he usually does. And I think if the Giants are going to kind of give the offensive line a chance, they're going to have to run a little bit and, you know, and hope play action works by the running game going with Saquon Barkley. So I'm anxious to see what happens from that standpoint.
Absolutely. When you're taking a look at the offensive side of the ball, obviously everything revolves around you let me know, everything revolves around Saquon and Daniel Jones doing their thing. I think if you can get Saquon, like you said, off to a great start, and you can get that running game going, you take a lot of pressure off of Daniel Jones, and then you just kind of make that explosive wide receiver and tight end core even more explosive, because now you're single covering Darren Waller. You got Wandale Robinson coming off, although coming off of an ACL. You got that quick burst guy that can get open against one-on-one coverage. If you need a third and five, that's the guy you're looking to go to. You got Sterling Shepard, who actually impressed me because he looked quicker than I've ever seen him look before. I don't know what your perspective is that, but he looked really good. I mean, he looked like he was a brand new Sterling Shepard out there this past weekend. And so I was impressed with that. I think we just got to temper our kind of excitement for Jalin Hyatt. He is a rookie. I don't think he is in that upper echelon category of rookies coming in, making a huge impact. Obviously he has great speed, but I just want everyone to temper their excitement about Jalin Hyatt. And then you got Paris. I think he brings that veteran leadership, that guy that can come in and stabilize and make the necessary catch that you need. So that you know, skill group is very exciting, and I'm excited to see what they can bring to the table. It's all, like I said, bottom line, it stems with the line. Everything starts with offensive and defensive line. If that offensive line can create holes and open up the running game and give Daniel Jones a little time to play, and if Kafka can come in and call a great game, I think then you have an opportunity to do some things that will really excite this fan base and give everyone hope. My main concern and my question for you is, everything starts with the lines, whether it's offensive or defensive line. What do you see with the defensive line? You know, they seemed like they had a decent game. The backups had a decent game this past weekend against the Jets. But is that still a concern for you?
Yes, it is, because I love – Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams. They say he might have been hurt last year. So if those two can man the middle, they can open up for a lot of people. I think their linebackers are pretty good. I was looking at the backup, Makai McFadden. I was looking at Bobby Okereke, Cam Brown.
Okereke.
Kevin I forgot his name.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
What's his name?
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Thibodeau. I think if he is does like most people going into their second season, and because last year, if you begin remember at the beginning, he hurt his knee and he didn't get off to a good start. Mm-hmm. Now he seemed like he's ready, and he's gotten accolades from his coach after the coach yelled at him. And I think that if they come out and the thing that gets me, Charles, is that, and I hate to talk about when I played, but when I played, I was so tired from the preseason going into the regular season. Now these guys, the starters, don't even play at all. I think most of them, you know, played one series. And even Danny Jones only played one series. And I think, you know, I was trying to figure, is that the correct way to do it? And I think it is, because even the way that we did it, I don't think was the right way, because I was resting from practice to play in a game. And I think the way they're doing it, because I could see Saquon coming out like a fireball, because he hadn't touched anything. He worked hard in practice. He's ran after sprints after practice. He lifted weights. And I think because he didn't play in the preseason, you're going to see a guy that's going to be much better. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, when you look at, you know, the 53-man roster, and you take a look at the positions that there are, you obviously Saquon, I really do think that, you know, from a running back position, if you just look at the offense, Saquon is the bell cow. He's going to get most of the snaps. But do you think Eric Gray should, at least because of his explosiveness, because I think he brings more to the table than Matt Breida, but I don't see a coaching staff trusting Eric Gray right off the bat. But I do think that there's a place for Eric Gray to take some snaps off of Saquon if he gets an opportunity before Matt Breida. What do you think about that, being a running back?
Well, see, I think that he won't have to handle the load as much as he did last year because of the talent around him. This is the best talent, I think, in his 5 years that he's had from tight end to wide receiver. And then the quarterback has gotten better. So I think that, you know, you can use him kind of even as a you know, kind of you fake him up the middle, you fake screens to him and throw to the other people. That makes the offense a lot more better. And what I really like about Brian Daboll is that he addressed all the needs, Charles, that the Giants needed from offensively and defensively. They need some defensive backs. They drafted Deontay Banks. They just all the positions that they needed, you know, wide receivers, definitely one of them. And they're worried about the offensive line. They got that center, Smits from Minnesota. So I think, you know, for most teams try to draft, take best athlete available, the Giants addressed the needs that they had. And I think we're going to see if their scouting department does exactly what they're supposed to. So I'm looking at something good, but I think what's going to happen is that the Giants offense is going to help the defense by having long drives, keeping the defense off the field, allowing them to come in well rested.
Yeah. And how do you like the new pickup? They obviously they just signed off of waivers A'shaun Robinson. I think that'll help beef up the line. Obviously Leonard Williams has been injured past couple of years and hasn't really been out there for all of the games. And so my one concern is defensive line and health of the defensive line. After you get past Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams, and even A'shaun Robinson, if he can come in and create an impact, because he has done well over the course of his career. Once you get past those three, you got slim pickings, and I don't have a lot of confidence just because they don't have a lot of experience. I don't have a lot of confidence in the backups on that D-line.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
And the thing for me, Charles, is that all the good defensive lines around the NFL have backups. You look at the Eagles, they got guys behind guys that can come in and play. And I think from a defensive line, because the guys are so big and quick and they're giving so much effort, you can't play them all game, because you wear them out. So I think you got to have backups. You got to have a rotation system where everybody gets a chance to show their stuff. I don't know about the backups for the Giants. So we're going to see early what's happening because, you know, the first game against the Cowboys, it may be hot here. I don't think it's going to be anywhere cold. And so I think that, you know, if you got guys like that, you got to make sure you do that. Anyway, Charles Way and Billy Taylor, we're talking the Expressway. We're on each and every week. And the first quarter, we talked about the New York Giants and what they had on both sides of the ball. Now we're going to talk about the New York Jets and what they have on both sides of the ball. And did Aaron Rodgers make a difference when he came in the game? So keep it where it is. We'll be right back with more on the Expressway after these messages.
And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles. Show me the way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we have just finished up talking you through the 53-man roster for the Giants. And now we're going to go through the Jets and how well they did in last week's game against the Giants. Obviously, no one needs to kind of add or uplift that Giant defense because that Giant defense is probably has to be one of the best in the NFL. I think outside of Philly, they got to be top three, top four defenses in the NFL.
About the Jets?
They got some talent on that defense, and that showed during the preseason game. Having Aaron Rodgers come in and play his first game, I think he did something to that team. He just adds a, you know, there's always a guy in your locker room, and everyone has it. He could be a great player or not a great player, but there is always a guy in your locker room that is like the glue that brings everyone together. And I think he may be that critical piece that sends the Jets to the next level.
There's no doubt in my mind at all, Charles, because if you think about it, they had nobody on offense last year who could make somebody accountable. Now he's got people like I was listening to him the other night. He was talking about the mistakes they made on offense, had somebody jump offside, the receiver wasn't where they're supposed to be. And he acknowledged that and let them know that he didn't like that kind of stuff. And if you got somebody like that on you every single week, it's going to make you better. I like what Aaron Rodgers has done. As a matter of fact, the only thing I was interested in from the Jets standpoint in the game is when Aaron Rodgers comes in, does he elevate his teammates? He definitely did. As a matter of fact, Garrett Wilson, who caught that great touchdown pass, that was an outstanding play. And there was only threw the ball one place where the receiver could get it, and the defense back had no chance at all. That's the kind of stuff I'm going to see all year. And I think because of the Jets' kind of slowness on their offensive line, I think Aaron came in and got rid of the ball less than 2 seconds. You don't have a chance from a defensive line standpoint when the quarterback does that. So, you know, as we go through the whole offensive team, you got to be impressed, Charles Way, with Aaron Rodgers.
And he is Aaron. I mean, and that's why he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think that's why he's been able to be as successful as he is throughout his career is because he knows matchups. He understands coverages. And he did this all the time in Green Bay. Him and whether it would be Reggie Cobb or whoever, his go-to receiver, he would see if they were lined up one-on-one against a chump, and they're calling them chumps over there lined up one-on-one and say, look, I don't care what the play is. You look at me, I look at you. You know what we're going to do, and I'm going to throw it to you. And that's what he did in the Giants game. He saw that he had his number one receiver wide by himself against a DB that was a second-string DB. He's like, look, I'm just going to throw you the ball. You get it. And that's what he did. And that's what he brings to the Jets is that he can take his team out of a play that may not be good for the defense.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
And put him into another play that he knows will be better. And he puts his people, he puts his talent, his skill guys in great position to succeed. And that's what you'll see throughout the season. And I think that's why everyone is so excited about the Jets. You look at this play. This is the play right here. Look, he knows the play. It could be a run play. He's like, look, I'm not running the ball. I see you one-on-one, and I'm just going to throw it to you because I know you're better than their player. And he just beat, look, no space. He sees it. Dude had no chance of beating him. They don't even know who number 34 is. And so he's like, look, if I don't know who you are, you're a chump. I'm going to get you, and I'm going to beat you. And that's what he did.
And see, in the NFL, that's what they call 50-50 balls. When the defensive back and the receiver are one-on-one, nobody else around, you kind of test or kind of put your effort into the guy who's the receiver because he's supposed to be the better athlete. The receivers are supposed to be a little bit – I mean, don't get me wrong, defensive backs are great athletes too, but you're dependent on your man to go get it. I just think what Rodgers brings to the table is I watch him look off defensives, I watch him turn his head completely to the right, come back to the left, and you can't cheat on that as a safety or a defensive back. So I'm really excited because if you think about it, that's all the Jets needed was to bring a quarterback who cannot make mistakes and allow their defense to come on the field just fired up. And I think when he got that touchdown pass, it put them up 7-0 against the Giants, and I think the defense got fired up because of it. And that's what you want your offense, especially your quarterback, to do is keep the defense off the field, let them come in well-rested. Because you've seen defenses, Charles, where they're coming tired because the offense was 3 and out 4 times and they don't get no time to rest. If you allow this defense to be rested, I guarantee we're going to see some. So it's going to be interesting during the course of the year. And then also the right tackle, Makaya Becton, he did better than I thought. I was looking at him because that was his really first start, and that might be a plus for the Jets.
Yeah, it is. And when you look at the offensive side of the ball, we'll go through the defensive side of the ball here in a little bit. But when you look at the offensive side of the ball, you can see how Aaron Rodgers kind of lifted the play of Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson looks like a different player this year than he did last year. I think the addition of Aaron Rodgers will only make Zach Wilson a much better quarterback. I think we talked about this last week on the show that he could be a franchise quarterback. He can be along the ilk of that San Francisco dynasty when they had Montana, they had Steve Young. I mean, they just had a stable of quarterbacks that they could just go to. And I think this is what they're trying to create. A la Green Bay, they went from they had Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and let's see what the Love Kid will do this year, right? So I'm hoping that this is only adding to the legacy of what Aaron Rodgers can bring to the Jets. When you look at the running backs, I mean, you got 4 running backs that are legit starters on any team in the NFL. Breece Hall, Dalvin Cook, Michael Carter, and Abenaconda. I was impressed with Israel Abenaconda. Obviously, he got injured a couple weeks ago, but that kid is impressive. And I think that given how fragile the running back position is, when you look at that position, they got 4 guys that can start any day of the week if need be.
And I like that too because, you know, it allows – Breece Hall to kind of take his time coming back, even though they say he's ready now, but he's only had a couple weeks of practice. And I think if you kind of bring him along slowly and let Dalvin Cook do his part, then you're going to keep people well rested from a running back standpoint too, and they won't kill anybody. And I think that, you know, the Jets are going to run the ball because that's been Aaron Rodgers' MOA MO for the last so many years. He's got to have a good running game. And if that offensive line can get going and not make mistakes, he was mad at them because they jumped offside in practice. And I like that. I remember when Parcells first came, when people would jump offside, he'd make them do something. And I think that you got to have that kind of discipline to not be able to, especially from an offensive standpoint, because it allows you to come up a second and 15, and it really hurts your offense a little bit. But I like what the Jets are doing. I was impressed with their game, and they play with tenacity almost the whole game. Now let's check out the defensive side for them. I'm really impressed. I've always been impressed with C.J. Mosley. And the Quentin guys, Quentin Jefferson and Quentin Williams, I think both of them are great defensive linemen, and they're going to be instrumental all year. And that's where the Jets probably have the biggest plus, because they got a defensive line with people behind each other who will not allow them to miss a beat.
Yeah, and when you talk about depth and about the Giants, this is a team that has depth at the defensive line
position. Absolutely.
And that's the exciting part. Even the rookie – It surprised me a little bit. Will McDonald surprised me a little bit that he actually can be a player for them.
Yep.
Right. And so their D line is probably up there with some of the best D line. I think, without a doubt, head and shoulders above any team. And we'll get into this a little bit later when we talk about the rest of the NFL. The Eagles, I think the Eagles defensive line probably has one of the best defenses, second team defenses in the league. It's probably their second team defense is probably a top 10 defensive line in the league. But when you look at the linebacker, obviously CJ Mosley is the captain of that defense. He's running the show. That veteran leadership is needed. I'm not as high, I mean, on the linebacker core. If you're looking for a weak area, I would say the linebacker core is their weak area, on just because CJ Mosley, although he is a veteran and knows the game and been around the game a very, very long time, he is up there in years. He's older, he's a little bit slower. And so, I mean, if you had to identify a weakness, which may not be a strong weakness, but if you had to identify the weakest part of the defense, I would say it's the linebacking core.
And I agree with that, but the thing that I love is that if you got a good defensive line, it allows your defensive backfield to look better. Sauce Gardner, without a doubt, may be one of the top five defensive backs in all the NFL. A shutdown cornerback allows you to play 10 on 11 or 11 on 10. And I think that the Jets can have somebody almost like Revis, so you can have them the other side of the field completely shut down a receiver. Then it's going to allow everybody to play well. And plus the fact, with the offense of Aaron Rodgers, they're going to come in well-rested also. And so it's going to allow CJ to play even better. So it's going to be fun to see what goes on with the Jets' defense. But I agree with you. It starts with that defensive line.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. This is going to be a great upcoming season. Obviously, next week is one of those – it's a college football week. It's all about college football next week. You can get ready to go. It starts this weekend. I'm excited to see what's going on in college football. So, but we will be right back in a moment to talk some top highlights for some rookies that have been out there, and we'll see what else is going around the league in our third quarter. But we'll be right back in a moment.
And we're back. You're here on the Expressway, Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We called the Expressway because Charles Way came up with the name. I'm the BT Express, and they call it the Express, and then Show Me the Way. And Charles brought up Expressway. So we call that the Expressway. We're on every single week. We've gone through two quarters. We talked about the New York Jets. We talked about the New York Giants. And now we're just going around the NFL. And we got, you know, there's three new quarterbacks who are starting this year. For the first time, and I don't know, Charles, You know, we got Anthony Richardson, who's playing with the Indianapolis Colts, gets a start. Bryce Young from Alabama, number one draft choice, going to Carolina. And then C.J. Stroud going to the Texans. My problem is that, you know, I always thought that a quarterback should sit on the bench for a little while to check out things. When Eli came, they had him miss, I think, the first five or six games, and then he began to start. I would have suggested him all year to sit back and watch. So I think it benefits a quarterback so much because, you know, playing the quarterback position is one of the toughest positions in sports. So your thought process.
Yeah, I agree. When you look at those three quarterbacks, C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, and Anthony Richardson, I think out of the three, I think Anthony Richardson is the one that...
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
I would probably see as one that may not live up to expectations, right? I think there are some concerns about his accuracy when he throws the ball. And so, like I said, I hope nothing but the best. But if you look at those three guys, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, and Anthony Richardson, I think Anthony Richardson out of the three will probably be the least successful out of the three. And we were talking, I know we're going to talk about it in another segment, but we were talking about Kyler Murray ending up on PUP to get the number one, try to tank this season to get the number one draft pick, which is a quarterback out of, I believe, USC, right? Isn't that the quarterback out of USC?
Yep.
Get the quarterback out of USC. I honestly think Indianapolis should do this. This is the best opportunity for them to get another Peyton Manning, because I'm telling you right now, Anthony Richardson, if you saw him, if you watched any of Indianapolis's games, that guy, he doesn't impress me right off the bat because he's young and he wasn't very accurate at Florida. He ran the ball well at Florida, but that wasn't somebody that I'm going to put my hopes of winning a Super Bowl anytime soon behind. And I think that Indianapolis should look to think about tanking as well. And they might be thinking about tanking by playing Anthony Richardson because he may not be able to win a game.
Yep. But if they notice that he's got potential, they got to do something to protect that. And they must know something because, you know, to name him the starter that quickly, they did it after the first preseason game. And I was kind of astonished with that. As far as Bryce Young is concerned, I think Bryce has got a chance to be good with Carolina. My only problem with him is he's small in height and small in nature. I don't think he weighs 200 pounds. And I remember first game he was playing, it might have been against the Jets. He was against the Jets. The defensive line came off quickly, hit him from behind, and I thought he was going to kill him. I really did, Charles. He hit him. You know, he laid his 300 pounds on him and laid on him when he did it. And they said, you're not supposed to do that anymore, but they didn't call a penalty on it. So I know his welcome to the NFL had to be tough, and that might have hurt his confidence. And then as far as C.J. Stroud, he might be the best of them all because he's got the starting job for the Texans. And I think the Texans were on the verge of being pretty good even last year. So it's going to be interesting to see because I just don't know if rookie quarterbacks can be counted on in their rookie season.
Yeah, I think when you look at the quarterbacks and how teams are going to manage what they do and how much they do and how much a team is going to be relying on them making plays. Obviously, at the quarterback position, you're going to be relied upon a lot to make the right decisions. But I think it's incumbent upon those offensive coordinators that have these rookie quarterbacks manage the game well. Don't put the whole game in their hands. Don't make them go back and drop back and pass 50 times a game. Right. You got to have a great running game. I think when you look at Houston's offense, you see that they're going to try to center their offense around the run game. They're running a pro style offense. They have a fullback on the roster, which makes me happy. I like any team that will bring a fullback back. So I'm excited that the fact that they have a fullback on their team. You know what? I know we're talking about rookies and everything, but I had a chance to see New Orleans Saints, and you know David Carr is going to be their starting quarterback. Yep. I had a chance to watch Jameis Winston, and I'm like, he didn't impress me either when I saw him play. And you would think that being in the league, as long as he's been in the league starting, and to your point, did starting off the bat right out of the gate, right coming in, did it hurt him and his development and didn't give him a chance to see what a good veteran quarterback, how he watches tape, how he diagnoses defenses, how he goes about his work throughout the week? Did that hamper his development and hasn't become the type of quarterback we all thought he could be?
I totally agree with you, because I think when you sit down and watch somebody else how to do it, because you think about it, if you're coming in there doing it without any looking at other people, you're trying to find your own way and find your own mistakes. But it's just like a Zach Wilson of the Jets. He's learning from a Hall of Fame quarterback, and his game has already improved. And then I want to go back to Anthony Richardson of the Indianapolis Colts, because he was dependent on Jonathan Taylor to be a big help from them. Jonathan Taylor's on the PUP list, and he's the youngest of the running backs to be successful. He's younger than Saquon Barkley. He's younger than Josh for the Raiders, and Dalvin Cook, who's up with the Jets now. And they had that running back meeting a few weeks back, and this is the first time someone has tried to benefit from it. He doesn't want to play. They offered him a multi-year contract, and he turned that down. And he doesn't want to play for the Colts. And when he comes back from the PUP, he might hurt an ankle or a shoulder or something and be out a little bit more. This guy is exciting. He's a home run hitter. And it just makes me mad that you're not going to pay somebody that's a home run hitter.
Yeah, and it goes back to our running backs discussion. They don't value running backs as they used to, but I think it should be the value that position has on that given team. And based on the structure of the Indianapolis Colts, Jonathan Taylor's value is way more than probably 50 other NFL teams in the National Football League, just because A, he's a great running back, B, and because you have a rookie quarterback that you don't want throwing 30 to 40 times a game, you're going to be relying on that running back position to make plays and can keep drives moving along. And so when you don't value that position for your own team, it kind of hurts you. And I think Jonathan Taylor, from all the interviews that I've read that he's had, he's not looking to break the bank. He's not looking to be the highest paid running back in the NFL. He just wants to get paid a reasonable amount of money. And based on what they're trying to put together there, I think he has a gripe, and I don't see any reason why Indianapolis wouldn't do that. Unless, like I said, think about this. Do you think Indy is trying to get the number one pick? Because if you look at that team, they don't have a Super Bowl contending team. Am I right?
Yep,
and
right.
They probably don't even have a playoff team this year, right? So I'm going to put these young guys out there, and if we win, great. Development, great. We got a great coaching staff. But if we lose, great, because now I got a chance to get the number one pick, the number one quarterback coming out of the draft. And hey, I have a chance to probably pick up the best player since Joe Burrow coming out of the draft.
Yeah, but see, Anthony Richardson was drafted in the top five. And for you to lose somebody like that this quickly and give up on them, it means you don't see the potential in them. So, and it's hard to tank in the NFL, Charles, because that means everybody. I think the only way you can do it is you got a coach that like substitutes Charles Wade, the starting fullback, for somebody else and shouldn't even be in there. And that's the only way you can tank, because if you go in there, you're going to give effort.
I know you are, but Anthony, let me just tell you, come on. Anthony Richard only played a season?
Yep.
At one season. And when I saw him, and so I saw him in Florida, when he was at Florida, he wasn't very accurate at Florida. His accuracy, that was the knock on Anthony Richardson. He wasn't a pure pocket quarterback. He couldn't throw in a pocket. Jalen Hurts had the same MO. Yep. Jalen came coming out. He wasn't a pocket passer. But he changed that. And maybe Anthony, and that's what I think, that's why it's hard. You know, when you're a GM, let me, if you ever become GM BT, don't use someone else as reference. You can kind of say, okay, that's what I hope he can be, but don't be like, oh, well, he's gonna be like Jalen Hurts. Because you can't say Anthony Richardson, and that's what people are saying. Oh, I'm gonna draft Anthony Richardson. He's just like Jalen Hurts. You don't know who Jalen Hurts is and how what he's done off the field. And so you're trying to compare Anthony Richardson because they may have the same qualities, but you don't see if they have the same makeup. And so they're trying to compare Anthony Richardson and Jalen Hurts and thinking, oh, we're going to get Jalen Hurts. Mind you, Jalen Hurts has a squad around him from a running back, the wide receivers, the tight end, and the offensive line are legit. Whereas Indy, they don't have their running back. The main running back is holding out. The wide receivers are okay, and they don't have a great tight end. And so, their offensive line is suspect. So when you take all of that into consideration, you're setting up Anthony Richardson for failure. And that's why I think they're looking to tank.
Well, I think their owner, Robert Irsay, is setting them up for failure. Him talking bad about a running back that hits a home run and just downplaying the running backs. And it makes me mad because if you think about it, the running backs are doing so much for teams. And I think somebody was going to do what Jonathan Taylor did because he got to prove to him that if you don't have him, your team won't win. Before we get going, I wanted to just get your thoughts on the Cowboys traded for Trey Lance. He was a third pick in the draft a couple years ago. And I was trying to figure, what does Dak think from the Cowboys when you draft someone? They were lucky they got a fourth round draft pick for him. But is it going to affect their play at all?
I don't think so. But I think it is putting Dak on notice that hey, look, now you're getting, this is what, he only has like one more year left on his contract or something like that. One or two years left on his contract. And like, look, it's playoffs or bust for you, buddy. Right? It's like, if you don't take us to the playoffs, then you're probably not in our future and our future plans. And I think it's for Mike McCarthy too. I think this year is like the telltale sign is like, it's a make or break year for Mike McCarthy and Dak Wilson, because because if they don't perform this year, it seems like the new regime is coming and everybody's going to, Trey Lance will take over. And I guarantee you, if Dallas doesn't come out to block strong, you're going to hear people say, replace him with Trey Lance.
Well, the thing that gets me is that I just have problems with Jerry Jones because, he didn't tell the head coach, which I think he should have. I understand why he didn't say anything to Dak, but, being the leader that Dak is, maybe you should have just kind of said something. Well, listen, we're going to bring this other guy in because we got a great deal. We just got him for a fourth-round draft pick instead of the media going to Dak and ask him what he thinks. So that's Jerry Jones' problem. If it hurts the team in any way,
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Jerry Jones' fault, So my problem is the communication and Jerry Jones acting like he's a general manager, which he should not be. And I don't know if I should say that, but I just don't think he's good for the Cowboys as being a general manager.
Yeah, I think that's part of the dysfunction that it are the Cowboys. And I think that's what kind of keeps them from elevating their game to the next level and utilizing that talent and actually seeing the fruits of the talents that they have on that team, because that team is one of the most talented teams in the NFL, but year after year, they continue to live up to expectations. And so I'm not mad at being a Giants fan. Obviously, we're not mad about that. And we hope that they continue to be a dysfunctional organization on come next two Monday nights from next week, or Sunday night of next week to see that game and do the things that they have to do. But I'm excited that they are a team of dysfunction. And look, Trey Lance, you really didn't get a chance to see a lot. Because they didn't allow him to do much when he did get a chance to play. They like I was telling you what they should be doing for Anthony Richardson, they were doing for Trey. They were running the ball against teams and not allowing him to kind of throw the ball 50 times a game. So they kept the game in control and didn't put the entire game in that young quarterback's hands. And I think that's what Indianapolis is going to have to do, or any of these teams like the Houston Texans. I want to see D'Amico Ryans do well. They got a very young team. I want to see that. I mean, he's coming home. He played for them for a long time. It would be a great story. I think D'Amico Ryans reminds me of a Vrabel over in Tennessee. I think those two guys remind me of the same type of guy. They're defensive guys that believe in the run game. They don't like teams that can run the ball, control the ball. And I think that's what D'Amico is trying to do in Houston, is try to create a team similar to what Tennessee has done. Because obviously Tennessee has not had a good quarterback since Vrabel has been there. And you can see how they've been able to manage teams. And they've been a playoff contender for most of the time Vrabel has been there without a good quarterback. So yep. I think there's some reason to be hopeful if you're a Texans fan.
Don't touch that dial, because we've gone through three quarters. We come back on the other side. We're going to go down the standings in the NFC East. If we have time, we'll do the Jets in the AFC East. But when we come back, we'll talk more in our fourth quarter on the Expressway after these messages.
And welcome back to the Expressway. We are finished three quarters of exciting NFL news. Now we're going to tell you our predictions as the season starts to come upon us. We're going to give you our NFC predictions next week. We will give our AFC predictions and predictions of who we think will win the upcoming week's games. But this weekend, we'll probably have a little game, me and Billy, next week about how many wins we can kind of predict for each of us each and every week. But let's go through our NFC predictions. Let's start off with the NFC East first. We got the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Giants, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Washington Redskins. How do you think that'll shake out?
Well, see, the thing that I'm concerned with is that the Commanders are going to be better than people think. They got a decent quarterback named Howell. They've always had a good defense. That's going to be interesting. I think the Eagles, I haven't seen them yet play with their new coaching staff. They got a new offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. And I can't think of many situations where a team lost both of them and still had success. Now, I'm not a Cowboy follower. I don't like them at all because of Jerry Jones. I think for some reason they could go downhill if Zach doesn't come out being a top five quarterback, because they say the only reason that the Cowboys will be unsuccessful if he, like last year, he led the NFL in interceptions with 15 and he had his worst year as a quarterback. So can he improve on that? I think the Giants, without a doubt, are going to be much better. Their offense is much better. It's going to help the defense tremendously. So as far as that's concerned, the Eagles, Giants, and Cowboys are going to be 1, 2, 3. I'm going to say the Eagles are going to be up there, but I'm not going to give the Cowboys number 2 because I think the Giants.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick 6, 3-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off. and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Can come out and play where early since they're playing at home. And if they can control the ball and keep that, their defense, get the Cowboys defense tired because it's going to be, it's going to be a little bit warm. I know it's not Texas, but I think that will help the Giants. And I think the Giants can be number two. It's a possibility of it.
Yeah, I think the surprise, I agree. I think the surprise will be the Washington Redskins and what they do. I think I like their defense. Their defensive line is healthy. Everyone is back. And that's a scary defensive line. And I think and Sam Howell was impressive for me last year. He was able to come in and manage the team very well. And if they can do the same thing, especially with that defense, and Ron Rivera team always plays well, I think the problem in the past for Ron Rivera's team is they started off slow and ended up like in winning like eight out of the last 9 or 10 games. But if they can start out fast, I think Washington could potentially fight for the two spot. I agree. It's an all or nothing for Dallas. I believe. I think they'll have a chance to compete with Philly for the number one spot or compete with Washington for the last spot. And I think it goes for all of them, even the Giants. As much as we like the Giants, given if they don't come out correct and if they don't do the things and the ball doesn't, and obviously we've been on teams in which it's just the ball didn't bounce a certain way and you end up 0-3 just because you didn't get the ball didn't bounce your way at that time. And given how hard that schedule is coming out and how hard the schedule is for the entire season, they could end up in fourth place based on the schedule. So obviously Philly is a cream of the crop in that division. And I think 2, 3, and 4 are up for grabs. And it's just dependent upon how well those teams come out and play the first couple of weeks of the season.
And I think getting off to a good start is imperative to you doing that because it creates momentum. Let's go to the NFC South with the Bears, Lions, Packers, and Vikings. They say the Bears are going to be better, but I haven't seen that yet. They say the Lions, and I know the Lions are going to be better with Coach Campbell. Matter of fact, they look like they're a playoff team. And then the Packers, I've been impressed with Love. I only watched preseason. Like I said, I can't judge preseason because it's hard, but he looked like he was cool as the other side of the pillow. It looked like the 3 years of running that offense helped him. And then the Minnesota Vikings, I don't see how they can do it without Dalvin Cook. I mean, they got to bring somebody in to replace that 1,000-yard runner, and because Cousins is not a great quarterback. So in that division, I'm going to go with the Lions being first, the Vikings being second, and maybe but the Packers and Bears coming up with it. But I think that's going to be interesting also.
I think the Vikings is going to be my surprise team in that division. I think when you look at the Vikings and the fact that no one has confidence in Kirk Cousins, I don't think from the coaching staff to management to even the players, the reason why he's still there is because of his contract. I just don't see them competing. Obviously, they will because they have the talent, but I think I put them in the same category as Dallas. I think if things start going south, which could go south early, then you may see that team struggling to get past the third place in that division. Obviously, Chicago is leaning on a rookie quarterback. I'm not looking for much. I think if they can manage that situation, just like Brian Dabble did last year with Daniel Jones, if they can pull out a couple of games that they're not supposed to win, that momentum will kind of continue to go week after week and probably give them a chance to compete. But I agree with you. Detroit and Green Bay are at the top of my list as should be 1 and 2. I would caution Detroit fans that if Detroit tries to think that they can show up and not play like they play, and I know Dan Campbell won't allow it because of his intensity, But if those players don't believe that they have to try hard to win and they can just show up, and because it's a young team, they may have a tendency to do that. They may be in for a rude awakening because everybody expects them to be 1-2, especially after what they did last year. They should be competing to win that division. But if they don't come out ready to play, they may be in for a rude awakening, may end up in third place in that division.
Yeah, the NFL games are more meaningful than any sport because every game has some type of meaning. Let's go to the NFC West with the Falcons, Panthers, the Bucks, and the Saints. You said you watched the Saints, Derek Carr. I just don't know if they, without Peyton as the coach, can they live up to where they have before. They got a good defense. Their starting running back is out the first, I think, four games because of some situation he's in. I think that's going to hurt them. So I don't know. And then the Bucs with Mayfield, he should be better. If Mayfield comes to play, they got a decent team. I don't know about their coach. Like I told you before, he kind of shows different emotions on the sideline. The Falcons have the number one running back out of Texas. If they utilize him, and I'm going to hope he does successful because it's going to help the running back situation. And then the Panthers with a Bryce Young at quarterback, unless he improves quickly, I don't see how they're going to be successful. They got some skilled players, but I don't know if they're going to be successful. So I'm going to go with that one situation. I'm going to go with the Saints being one, the Falcons 2, and then the Panthers and the Bucks are going to kind of wind up in the back. So, again, it's going to be interesting, and nobody knows what's going to happen, but that's just my opinion.
I think out of the NFC, that'll probably be the worst division in the NFC. It'll be like that 7-9, 7-10 type of season where you actually get into the playoffs. But when you look at it, I think Baker Mayfield has been impressing people down in Tampa. Their defense, obviously, Todd Bowles is a defensive coach. He's going to make sure that defense is right. And I think they've tried to get younger on the defensive side. They got rid of a lot of those old guys that they built that Super Bowl winning team for them when they won the Super Bowl. I think a lot of the older players are now leaving. There's still a couple of old guys there, but they're getting younger, which is helpful. I think from my perspective, I like Tampa Bay coming out of that division. New Orleans is a strong second. I just can't give Carolina just because they're playing with a rookie quarterback. I just can't. And even though he's gotten better week in and week out during the preseason, once everybody starts going, they kick it up to a different level when the regular season starts. And so it may be a different game for him coming out thinking that he can do damage early. So I can't give the Panthers that much credit like you can. And Atlanta, I still don't think they're ready to show anything either. So Atlanta and Carolina are going to be my 3-4 teams, and I like Tampa to come out of the South.
Well, that's interesting because a lot of rookies don't realize that when the regular season starts, the speed of the game is going to change completely. You're going to see people flying out there, and you're going to see a lot of defensive coverages. And that's why I'm worried about those three rookie quarterbacks, because in the preseason, they saw everything that was vanilla. They saw basic coverages and everything. But when they get to the regular season, you're talking about having to read everything. So what I would do is, I was a coach, is I'd make the quarterback just read one side, because it's too complicated to read the whole thing and the way defenses are. Now, as we go to the last conference with the Cardinals, Rams, 49ers, and Seahawks, we already talked about the Cardinals having Murray being on a PUP, which I can't understand that at all. The Rams, they're supposed to be coming back because they think people are being healthy. And then the 49ers, I still think they're going to be good. I think that, Christian McCaffrey is going to have a good year. They got a lot of great skill positions. And their quarterback, Brock, who really had a good year last year, if he can come on strong in the very beginning, they're going to be tough to beat. And then the Seahawks, a lot of people don't like Geno Smith, but I think he's improved tremendously since the Jets and the Giants. He's taking what the defense gives, and that's what a smart quarterback does. So I'm going to go with the 49ers to come in first. I'm going to go with the Seahawks second. The Rams could come up there, and then the Cardinals get in the bottom of the division.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. I like San Francisco. They are the cream of the crop. I think the Eagles and San Francisco are 1-2 in the NFC. They do play each other, I believe, this year, so that'll be exciting. It'll be an exciting game. Brock Purdy, hey, he may be the second coming of Tom Brady, the guy that was Mr. Insignificant, right? Brock Purdy may be the next Tom Brady because he does have a composure. I saw one of the preseason games he came back, and he looked like, okay, I'm ready to go. He had that fire in his belly. So I think be aware that, you know, Philly better be watching behind, looking over their shoulders, because San Francisco may be nipping at their heels, because if it wasn't for him getting hurt, the Eagles may not even go into the Super Bowl last year because they just couldn't move the football.
Yep.
Right. Defense kept them in the game. Defense had the Eagles under control, was keeping them in check. They just couldn't move the football. So I think San Francisco is a contender for the Super Bowl this year. I agree with you that the Rams, I still don't know if the quarterback can get with, he's getting older and he doesn't have the same weapons as he had when he was at Detroit or when they won the Super Bowl. So I see, and the Cardinals are a mess. And I agree with you, Geno Smith. Seattle is a run first defense team. They win because of their defense in Seattle. And that's why Geno Smith, I believe, has had the type of success that he's had there, because Pete Carroll knows they love running the ball and they love playing to their defense. And that's what they do. And Geno Smith doesn't have to be a Superman for them to win games. And as long as he does what he did last year, as it improves just a little bit, they'll be 1-2. San Francisco and Seattle will be 1-2.
But the question for you is, usually a team who makes it to the Super Bowl and loses, they usually don't come back to the Super Bowl. What's going to make Philly different?
You know what? Their talent. Basically, their talent. Is they have talent on the offensive, decent side of the ball. If they don't become complacent and think they can just show up and win games and don't make mistakes, they should have an easy 12 wins, at more than 12 wins. So if you're looking at a plus or minus over under of Eagles getting 12 wins, they should easily have 12 wins. They should have like 13 or 14 wins, because they are by far talent-wise better than the majority of the teams in the NFL. But before we go, I know we only have a minute left. I want to talk about Deion. Show prime time is at noontime on Saturday versus TCU. And everybody's been pumped. I mean, he's making money for all of the major networks. I think the Big 12 should give him a bonus for making the Big 12 relevant again, because everybody cares about what Deion can do. If he comes out and he wins some games, I mean, oh my goodness, that man may be richer than Michael Jordan. But what do you think about upcoming college football? It truly starts this week. What are your expectations about college football?
I'm excited because the NFL has got so much of its products emulating what the college football teams are doing. I'm anxious to see what Deion is going to do, because they were 1-11 last year. He got rid of a lot of players. He brought in a lot of his own. His son is the starting quarterback for Colorado. So I'm anxious to see. And I think that, you know, a lot of people are rooting for him, because if he does well, it's going to show the success of a lot of other coaches who may come into the business. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. I want to thank Ben back at the studio. He makes Charles and I look good every single week. All of you have a good week. NFL season is starting pretty soon. We'll give you our predictions next week. Have a great week, everybody. For Charles Wade, show me. I'm Billy Taylor, the BT Express. Have a good day.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.